Let's make this our prayer. You can listen, I'll just sing. I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me all along my pilgrim journey. Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. And that's where today's story begins, a walk with Jesus. On Sunday, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, two of Jesus's downcast followers were walking, leaving Jerusalem, heading to a place called Emmaus. Now, maybe they were going home. We don't know. Or maybe they were fleeing Jerusalem in case the people who had put Jesus to death decided to complete the task by going for his followers. Luke says one of the travelers was named Cleopas. His companion might have been another man, but an early church tradition suggests that it was his wife. The name, according to the early church tradition, is Mary. This identifies Cleopas's wife with Mary, the mother of James the Apostle. And there are several reasons for that. Mary, of course, as you may remember from the texts, was at the crucifixion. She was at the empty tomb. She might have been present at other things like the Last Supper. And John's gospel mentions a Mary, wife of Clopas, not Cleopas, but awfully close. And Clopas might be a variant spelling of Cleopas, but I'm going to call her Cleopatra because it really is funnier. Whoever thing two was, the two followers were discouraged and defeated, musing about how wrong things had gone. They didn't even have enough hope to sing, I want Jesus to walk with me. But then Jesus does walk with them. Can we have slide number one over there? Walking with us is something that God seems to like doing. All the way back to Genesis. Genesis 5:24 talks about this mysterious character several generations removed from Adam and Eve named Enoch. And it says, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. The patriarchs, numerous of the patriarchs say, it says, walked with God, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And it happens over and over again. And in fact, one of our favorite verses that Elizabeth has on her sweatshirt, she's around here. Oh, there she is. Yeah, Micah 6:8 says that God wants us to seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Walking with God is a big theme. So Jesus joins Cleopas and Cleopatra on their 7-mile journey in the direction of Emmaus. But they don't realize it's Jesus. We can go to the next slide. They don't realize Jesus because this is the peekaboo Jesus who shows up a lot after the resurrection. People have difficulty recognizing Jesus, it seems, after the resurrection. Remember that Mary in the garden mistook him for the gardener until he spoke her name, and then she realized it was Jesus. Another time he's with the apostles in Jerusalem, and they initially say, it's a ghost. And then he has to persuade them that it's really him and he's really in the flesh. He has to eat some fish in order to persuade them he's not Casper or Jesus, the friendly ghost. And other times, people have difficulty recognizing him. When he appears in Galilee before the apostles, it says that they believed him, but, quote, some were doubtful. That's at the end of Matthew. And at daybreak on the Sea of Galilee, this is again in the book of John, where finds the apostles fishing. He's on the shore. He calls to them, and they don't realize it's him until he tells them to put the net down on the other side of the boat. And they pull in a bunch of fish, and Peter says, I think I remember something about this. It's the Lord. And it was. So for some reason, we don't really know what makes it hard at certain times. Our text says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. By what? By grief? By simple myopia? Maybe the sun was in their eyes. They were walking west out of Jerusalem in the afternoon. I don't have any idea. It doesn't really matter, I guess, or we'd be told. But they didn't recognize him. And I guess that suggests to me that in times of greatest distress, and it may just have been an effect of the distress they felt, in times of greatest distress, when we feel furthest from him, Jesus may be walking right next to us, but we don't recognize him. However, it's explained in this story, especially, I like to think about what Jesus was thinking. I mean, he sneaks up on these two downcast apostles as they're walking, or disciples, as they're walking toward Emmaus, and he plays along with their despair. He doesn't say, hey, it's me, it's Jesus. He says, what are you talking about? And they say, don't you know what's been going on in Jerusalem, the things that have just happened? He says, what things? He's got to be smiling inside. He's just leading them on. He's playing a little game with them. And I think Jesus is a lot more playful than we get from going to a big church all the time, you know? He's got to be smiling, anticipating to the wonder and joy when he does the big reveal. But then he says something to them after they explain, and he listens to them. They explain their misery about the situation, all the things that have happened, the trials, the flogging, the crucifixion, the death, and the confusion about the empty tomb. But that's all they have is confusion at this point. And then he says something that sounds like a rebuke if you read it one way. I don't think it sort of is, but I have a feeling, again, that at this point, Jesus is full of joy. And I have a feeling that maybe what he actually said came out like this. Oh, foolish people and slow to believe all that the prophets have said. Wasn't it necessary for Messiah to suffer and then enter into his glory? It's all in the scriptures. Take Moses for starters. And then he gives them a Bible study with handouts. See, this has got to have been the best Bible study that's ever been presented. He goes deep into the Hebrew scriptures, and it says explains everything in the Hebrew scriptures that related to him, to the Messiah. He goes back to the Bible. To know about God revealed in Jesus, the Bible has to be our starting point. You don't have to think of it as dictated by God. You don't have to think of it as utterly without difficulties, contradictions, and maybe errors. It was written and transmitted by fallible people, so we can't expect perfection, maybe. But it is still our fundamental starting point to know Jesus and know the God of Jesus Christ. And the written word does that. As Jesus explained to the scribes in Jerusalem, and this is way before we had the Gospels and the epistles. Here he's just talking to the scribes of the Old Testament. He said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and they testify about me. So he showed Cleopas and Cleopatra, or Mary, that even before the Gospels and epistles were written, the Hebrew scriptures pointed to a suffering Messiah who then would enter into glory. It's like Luther said, Martin Luther. Here in the Old Testament, Martin Luther said, you find the swaddling clothes and the manger in which Christ lies. Here you find the swaddling clothes and the manger in which Christ lies. So they get to a stopping point, maybe an inn or maybe the home of Cleopas. And Jesus keeps on joshing them, pretending he's going to go further. He still hasn't done the big reveal. I got to think he was just having fun with this. But they insist he stay with them. Stay, please stay with us, eat with us. I can imagine him slyly smiling and saying, well, if you insist. They sit at the table. And then Luke deliberately uses the very words that Luke also uses when describing the upper room, the initiation of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. He says, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and began giving it to them. Those very words. And their eyes were opened. Why? They realized this is Jesus. This repeat, especially if you can imagine that this was Mary and that Cleopas might have also been there in the upper room. It doesn't say that the Lord's Supper was limited to the 12 or the 11. In any case, their eyes were open, and what a big reveal. But then peekaboo, Jesus vanishes from their sight. The interesting thing to me is they didn't sit there saying, where'd he go? They didn't worry about that because the message had been delivered. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. And he was walking with us and he was teaching us. And they said, weren't our hearts burning within us? This is not heartburn for which you take Tums. This is a burning heart full of the truth of God and the joy of resurrection. So they ended up with new understanding. And they ran back. Well, it doesn't say they ran. They certainly turned around that very hour, the text says, and went that 7 miles in the dark now because night has fallen. It's dangerous to travel at that time of night, but they did, so they could be with the apostles and share their discovery that Jesus was alive. So we started with two people in despair, deep despair. At their lowest point, Jesus drew near to them and walked with them. Though they didn't recognize him, he walked with them. He listened to them. Then gently, he corrected and guided them through Scripture, and then he revealed himself in the breaking of the bread. He left them with the understanding and the joy to rejoin the apostles and to rejoin the revolution for the kingdom of God. Now, not every sermon is going to tell you to go out and join a particular social ministry organization or do 50 push-ups or whatever. Sometimes the application is to keep this in mind, to remember this. And I'm going to suggest, remember this event the next time you're in real despair, whether it's a personal depression from inside or something that has to do with your relationships with other people or with your community or with your nation or the state of the whole world. When you're in despair, when you're feeling like this is just not working, remember the Jesus who walks with you, even though you don't even recognize it, who listens to you, wants to hear about your despair, who then is ready to point you to Scripture and to the breaking of bread, the fellowship with one another, as means to recover the joy, the reality that Jesus is alive. You can sing it with me this time. I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me all along my pilgrim journey. Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me.